That's very appropriate for our sermon today, as we're going to talk about fatherhood, fathers, and I'm excited about it because I just spent the week with my father, and I can tell you what, I'm reminded when I'm around him how good our Heavenly Father is, because the basic way it works is whatever good attribute, whatever good characteristic you find in your father or your father figure, you can multiply that infinitely, and that is who our Heavenly Father is. So I am blessed not only to have had the experience of being raised by a wonderful man, I'm also blessed in being a father, which is one of the greatest gifts of my life. So I think I can talk on this topic today, not just from the head, not just with knowledge and information, but I can talk to you about it from the heart. And I think those are my best sermons and our best ways of learning, when we can learn and we can hear things pass through our minds into our hearts, and we can connect. Amen? So I do want to read a verse to you out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 through 7 through 11. And it's going to be up on our screen. If we don't mind standing as we show honor to God's word, amen. These are the words of Jesus in one of his sermons. And we'll start right here at verse 7. We're going to go all the way down to verse number, 11. You guys can see it on the screen. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Verse 11 says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So that's what we're going to use this morning for our Father's Day sermon. Let's pray for the sermon, if you don't mind bowing your heads. Father, thank you again for this passage, for these words from our Savior Jesus Christ, as he used the idea of fatherhood to communicate to us your attributes as our Heavenly Father. Our prayer, Lord, this morning is that we would see your goodness, your compassion, and your love through your word and through what Jesus shared with us. We ask you to bless each and every father. We ask you to bless, Father, those of us that are the recipients of a father's love. And we pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there you may be seated. There's a passage, and you don't have to go to it, and it's not going to be up on the screen, but I'll just read it to you briefly. There's a passage in Ephesians chapter 6 addressed to children and parents. It's found in the first couple verses, and it's Paul exhorting the church at Ephesus with these words. Children, so it's addressed to kids, right? Obey your parents in the Lord. So the context is obedience. Who's being addressed? Children. And what is being addressed? That they obey their parents. And how do you do it? You do it in the Lord. And what does that mean? You do it for the Lord. You do it in the grace of the Lord. You do it through the love of the Lord. I can tell you right now that there is this truth that sometimes we don't want to talk about. But sometimes parents are hard to obey, especially if they're not good parents. Right? But we do it in the Lord by faith, because it's the Lord who's asking us. And then the passage moves not only through the idea of obedience, but also to honor your father and mother. By the way, since it's Father's Day, we'll just, not that we're forgetting moms. When we had Mother's Day, we didn't talk about dads. We talked about moms. Today, we're talking about dads, right? Honor your father. What does it mean to honor your father? Well, it means to honor them or to give them a special place, a place of respect, a place of affection, a place, if you will, I think importance, to me at least, a place in which you reverence the position, who they are in your life, the impact that they have in your life. Honor your father. And then Paul ties it to the Old Testament. This is the first command with the promise. So if children obey their parents and honor their parents, in this case their father, being Father's Day, it, by the way, it's a promise. It's the first promise. And it has a it's a command, but it's a promise. And what is it? What is that promise? That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So what's the promise? Long life, and that it may go well with you, that your life will go well for obeying and honoring your parents. Yes, that's what the Bible promises. And there is a bit of instruction to the fathers. Don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The part that corresponds to parents or fathers is don't provoke your kids. Don't push those buttons that you know will get them angry or frustrated. Don't put them down. Don't make them, you know what I'm saying? Love them compassionately. Instruct them and discipline them. How? In the Lord again. Again, it's in the Lord. Through the compassion, through the grace, through the love of the Lord. That's how we're to deal with our children. So that's found in Ephesians. Then we see this passage that we looked at today. Paul reveals, or rather Jesus reveals something to us that I think is special. If you look at this passage, it starts off with ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open. And if we go to the next verse, verse 8, and Jesus explains even further, anyone who asks receives. Now, by the way, if you don't receive, you're not, at least when you're dealing with your Heavenly Father, if you're not receiving something, you know why that's the case? Because you're not asking. Because if you ask Him according to the words of Jesus, you'll receive. So if you think that somehow, some way, God's cheated you out of something, that's not true. You haven't asked, and therefore you don't receive. You have not because you ask not. And the one who seeks, so if you're searching, you'll find it. You may ask the question as to why. Well, because your Heavenly Father will see to it. And if you knock, the door will be opened. That's from Jesus concerning asking, seeking, searching. And specifically, what he's going to do in verse 9, he's going to tie it into a father. He's going to tie all this together and he's going to relate it to the relationship between a father and his children. Isn't that amazing? Jesus takes the relationship between a father and his children to the highest peak. Or which one of you, and he's addressing the fathers, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone. In other words, he's saying, if they need to be fed, well, why do you need bread? Well, because you're hungry. So the most basic human need, hunger is one of them. Your Father's not going to give you a stone when you ask for bread. He knows what you need. What we learn in this particular, and we go to the next verse, verse 10, or if you ask for a fish, is going to give you a serpent. In other words, if you ask for, in this particular case, again, a meal, nutrition, nourishment, right? Sustenance to live, he's going to give you a serpent, something dangerous? No. So these two verses reveal something special to us about our Heavenly Father. And what is it? It's easy, I think, that He is a giver. Our Heavenly Father is a giver. This reveals to us from the words of Jesus that He is a provider. So let's not forget that. Let's say that. God, our Heavenly Father, is a giver. Say that with me. God, our Heavenly Father, is a giver and a provider. Say that. And a provider. Don't forget that. He's a giver and He's a provider. Everything related to our Father in heaven giving is adequate, is complete, and it beneficial. Okay, so when you ask, when you seek, when you knock on the door of our Heavenly Father, when you go to Him searching for provision, when you ask Him for whatever need exists, what this verse is telling us is it's always adequate, it's always complete and beneficial. He will not let us down. Amen? So what do these verses communicate to us? Well, it communicates to us what I believe to be a very special relationship between fathers and their children. And do you know what these verses also tell us that we can do? It gives us insight into the rights we have as children, especially children of a Heavenly Father. You know what it's telling us? We have license to do. We have authority to do in the relationship with our Father to keep asking. What a wonderful idea. We can ask. Why would we ask? Because we have a need, whatever that might be. And again, He's a provider and He's a giver. This is what these verses, and so what this verse teaches us from the heart of our Heavenly Father is that the most natural thing or healthy thing a son or a daughter can do with their father is to ask and to keep asking. There couldn't be something more, I'll just use the word normal because we've gone off into some wild ideas in our nation. The most normal thing you could do, healthy thing you can do, is to continually ask your Father to meet your needs as a child. Those are the benefits of the relationship. What happens in this process? See, again, everything Jesus is teaching us is to show us that in the relationship, something is developed. And it's a daily relationship. If not daily, sometimes it's an hourly relationship, isn't it? Sometimes as parents and our children, it's a hourly relationship, a minute by minute, and sometimes, if necessary, second by second relationship. It's continual. It doesn't cease. Even when we separated, that relationship continues with a father and his children. And the one thing that I see here that I love is that it shows us, this passage, the development of channels of communication. You really can't know someone if you're not talking to them, if you're not communicating with them. Amen? You can't know anybody without talking to them. I mean, you can learn some things by being around them in their presence, obviously. But the deep things, the deep relationship comes from the development and the process of having these channels of communication. Does your son, does your daughter have access to you whenever necessary? They should. There's always this image, I don't know, those of us that are, I'm just going to go ahead and date myself. I admire John Kennedy. One of the pictures that comes out from the annals of history is John playing in the Oval Office in the underneath the desk of the most powerful man on earth. The one who confronted Khrushchev in a nuclear, potentially nuclear war. And here's this child in the Oval Office playing at the feet of his father. Why? Because of channels of communication. He had access as a child of the president. And John was not looking at that man known as JFK as the president. To him, he simply was daddy. Paul tells us that when we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we receive it, we call out Abba, Father, which literally means in Aramaic, daddy. The most intimate of titles. Isn't that wonderful? When we see our Heavenly Father. So, this is pretty much one of the benefits. The other one would be in the relationship and the benefits of a relationship with our Father in heaven. We also get to cultivate confidence. Also, we get to cultivate intimacy. Confidence. Well, you want to be able to approach your father with confidence. You want to be afraid of him. That's different from respect or reverence. Not fear, though. Right? If your children can't come to you confidently, knowing that they can, you lose something in the relationship. You don't talk. If you're going to be insulted, if you're going to be ignored, if you're going to be neglected, why would you go? And after a pattern of that type of relationship, it's unhealthy, you begin to draw back. It's the opposite that's taking place. But if there is that confidence in the child to approach his father, obviously mothers too, but this is a Father's Day message, right? Not in any way trying to demise the important role of moms. Obviously, they're important, but it's a Father's Day message. So it's not only the development of channels of communication access, it's also the cultivation of confidence and intimacy, and those things last a lifetime. Thus, the relationship lasts a lifetime. And in our case, with our Heavenly Father, it lasts for all eternity. It's not some small, trivial thing, is it? It's a eternal thing. And so, we can learn from this passage, and we can learn from our Heavenly Father, and one of the things that we learn is that the character of God, through what Jesus is sharing us here, is saying, hey, if you, earthly fathers, who are evil, that's kind of a strong word, but accurate in that basically saying, you earthly fathers who are sinners, because we are, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, dads, have you given gifts to your children? You do it every day. Right? How much, and this is powerful what Jesus is saying, because what he does is he takes the relationship with our Heavenly Father to a level that's infinite. How much more? Say that again with me. How much more? What? How much more what? Will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask him? So what this verse does is it gives me permission to say from what I'm reading here that the character of our Heavenly Father is simply this. He's good. He's good. That's it. I could actually stop the sermon now and you got the core of it. But I'm not going to do that because I'd like to develop more. What is it that we are learning from this passage? Because if you who are sinners, you who have a bad temper, you who for some reason maybe have some vice or addiction or problem, I don't know. We're all fathers. We've all seen it. We've all heard of it from other friends or other relationships. But in spite of the fact of our sinful condition, if we still will give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who's in heaven and who's righteous and who's just and who's loving and who's merciful and compassionate, how much more will He give to us the good things that we ask Him? Well, much more. It says this all right there. Much more. So what this verse does for me is it tells me that my earthly father, in spite of his sinful condition, is made in the image of the Heavenly Father. So whatever good we may find in our fathers here on earth, whatever good there is, our Heavenly Father is much more. So take whatever good you have found in your earthly father, and I'll get to another piece here that I think is important to address, but take whatever good attribute, whatever good characteristic that you find in your earthly father and multiply it infinitely, and that is who he is, our heavenly father. Wow. I, who have a wonderful father, have now been given insight to knowledge and experience because my father, who I just spent a week with in Texas, is a wonderful man, and therefore I have now been given by God the blessing of understanding how great he is. I have more responsibility. I have to give account to God because God gave me a good father. That means I need to be a good father. I need to pass it on. You guys understand what I'm trying to say here? This gives me license to say that, this passage. What it shows us is our Heavenly Father is interested in taking care of His children. He is concerned of their welfare. That's what this passage is telling us. Right? Now, let me say this, and I think it's important right now, and Steve alluded to it a little bit a moment ago. I understand, and it took me a while because I would hear some feedback to sermons in Father's Day. Each one is always a little different. People have come to me and said, hey, but Pastor, you know what? I didn't have a good relationship with my father. As a matter of fact, it was negative. Or I have learned from being a teacher in my classroom that there are those children who don't have a father. They're either in foster care or they've been adopted, and thank God for that. Right? Not everyone has or has had a positive relationship with their fathers. And all I can say to that is I'm sorry about that. We have to learn to face that fact. That's your reality. But guess what? And it's painful, and I get that. And there's a lot of compassion. However, I will put a lot of money on this fact. There is someone in your life, some paternal figure, some man somewhere, an uncle, a friend, a neighbor, a teacher, I don't know, someone, a big brother that you know that was a good father figure to you, that provided to you insight to that kind of compassion and that kind of provision. Amen? Do you guys hear what I'm talking about? Think about it for a minute. If you didn't have that great experience with a father, and it's a painful reality, and I'm sorry about it, but I'm here to tell you this morning, you might have had a stepdad or a grandfather, or again, an uncle, a brother, a friend, a neighbor, or possibly a teacher or a pastor. Somebody in your life has been good to you that was a man that gave you an insight to what a good father is, or in this case, a father figure. What a blessing for you. But ultimately, you have your Heavenly Father always. And that would be how we could clarify and move beyond the painful reality that not all fathers are good. And I can't say that I know what that's like. But I know some of you can. And it's an experience that maybe will drive you to Him who is always good. Does that make any sense? You have Him. He will never let you down. He will always make provision, as we read. And in spite of the fact that we may be sinners as fathers, and we may fail our children, and somewhere, somehow, we let them down, and we didn't fulfill our role, this verse tells me, how if your fathers, you then, he's referring to fathers in the crowd that he's speaking to, who are evil, you even in that condition and state know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? So, I think it's a good thing for us to honor our earthly fathers. I think it's a good thing to understand they're not perfect. I know I'm not. I think it's also good for us to acknowledge that there are good characteristics that, and good attributes that we can find in them, and or a father figure, and also there are spiritual things that we can learn from them. We can see them guiding and trying to direct our lives and be an impact and influence. But I think at the end of the day, our first thought when we think about fathers is it should be our Heavenly Father. He will always be there. Amen? I'm just saying, I get it. In my case, I got a good father. Horacio Correa is a good man, and I have always said, if I could be half the man he is, I would still be a great man. And that's my goal, at least half of what he is. So happy fathers to you, Dad, out there. I know you're watching. Now, I'm going to show you another verse. And I want to kind of tail off this, and let's look at it from another angle, and it's found in Psalms 103. Old Testament. So it doesn't matter. New Testament, Old Testament, the concept of fatherhood is still the same. What does this say? As a father shows compassion to his children. So obviously we're talking about a good father here, aren't we? We got that settled. What does a father show his children? Compassion. Compassion. If you want to know how to be a good dad, start right here. Compassion. And we saw it already from the passage in Matthew that we just read. Also, be a giver and be a provider. So I don't know what to do to be a good father. Be a giver, be a provider, and be compassionate. Oh, your kids will mess up. Oh, they'll get F's, or they'll get a D, or they'll miss the soccer shot, you know. They'll have a penalty kick and it flies 15 feet left of the goal. Oh, they didn't get the RBI when the bases were loaded to win the game. Or they cussed out their teacher. Oh, I don't know anything about that. You know, or your children are rebellious. Well, they sneak out at night. Well, they steal your car. You say, how do you know all these things? I had four brothers. What is it that children can do to disappoint their fathers? A whole lot of stuff. What is it we're supposed to show them? Compassion. What this really means is we're supposed to work with them. We're to deal with them compassionately. We're not supposed to boot them out of the house and kick them out and curse them out and punish them in ways that are where the crime, where the punishment doesn't meet the crime. What does a good father do? He shows compassion to his children. I love that. He shows compassion. And then what the psalmist does here is he ties in the Lord to that good attribute of a father. He says, So the Lord. So as a good father shows compassion, so the Lord showed compassion to those that fear Him. Again, the word here, fear, is really can be reduced to honor or respect. I'll never forget the day we did something in the neighborhood. We were bullying a kid one day back in sixth grade or something. I still remember. It's a long time ago, but I still remember. And this was on base. In other words, my dad was in the Air Force, and we were in base housing, so you're on base. There's a whole lot of different rules on base. You could do things outside the base and probably get away with it. So anyway, we were being dumb, and we were bullying this kid, and the kid went and told his dad, and his dad came to talk to my dad. I'll never forget. HC, the humble, loving dad that I have, took me and my brother by the collar and shoved us up against the wall and said, "You guys will never do that again." Dropped us and left. Me and my brother, we were shaking in our... So, the idea here is that was compassionate, because the Bible teaches us that a father who shows discipline loves his children. That's part of compassion. So, God also shows compassion to us when we mess up, you know, when we don't get it right, when we choose to make decisions that are not good for us. Those are all teachable moments, and I believe that teaching is compassion. Because what you're doing is you're training, you're disciplining your children so that they may live a better life, especially before the Lord. So, the verse here is telling us that God shows compassion like a father. He's not apathetic. He's not hostile. Does it say here, as a father shows hostility to his children, so the Lord shows hostility to you? That's not what it says. Am I reading that right? No. It doesn't say that. We're to acknowledge, as children, we're to acknowledge when our parents, or our fathers in this case, have been compassionate. And that's why we honor them. Because then it's a reflection of God. And we get to see and understand what God is like, which is healthy to our spiritual walk. We know that when we're ignorant, our parents teach us. They're our first teachers, by the way. We know that when we offend them or we do something, they forgive us, don't they? We know that when we're impatient, they endure with us. We know that when we're sick, they comfort us. We know that when we fall, they pick us up. I can tell you from a personal testimony in my past that I have fallen. And I had the blessing of a father who extended his hand to me and said, "Get up." That's who he is too. If that man, whose name is Horacio, was willing to show and demonstrate that compassion to me, when I failed and when I fell, I know that that is reflective infinitely of his, that is our Heavenly Father's, ability and willingness to also extend a helping hand and to pick us up when we fall. Amen? And as we learned in the first passage, we know that whenever we may have a need, that He's there to provide. That's what this is speaking to us. Look what the next part of the verse tells us. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God understands who we are. I think that's important. God understands our condition. God understands our weaknesses. God understands our limited knowledge. God understands, literally, that we're weak. That's what this verse is saying. And he, the psalmist, says we're dust. Yet, if we go back to the previous verse, he is what? Compassionate. What does that mean? He's tender. He's affectionate. He's loving. He's merciful. He's gracious. Where does the Father get that from? From the image of God in which he was created. So, whatever good you may find in your father, or your father figure, an uncle, an aunt, oh, I'm sorry, it couldn't be your aunt, could it? Your uncle, your friend, your neighbor, your teacher, whatever good you may find in that person, thank God that you experience then that which reflects who he is. Amen? Thank God for good fathers, for good men who stand in as good fathers, and most importantly, thank God for our Heavenly Father, who is, without a shadow of a doubt, G-O-O-D. Good. Period. Amen? That's my Father's Day message this morning. Let's take a moment to pray, and then we'll go out and celebrate, because we're going to have a little something in the fellowship hall right now for those of you that like to join us. Nothing real big, but just some way to have a little fellowship after this sermon and after we pray, and Steve's going to lead us in one more song here. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being compassionate. Thank you for being a good provider. Thank you for disciplining us and guiding us and leading us and blessing us and being present in our lives. Being there when we needed you. And this morning we want to honor our fathers and or our those father figures in our life who have been and reflected these attributes in our experience with them, in our relationship with them. Thank you for intimacy. Thank you for making it personal. Thank you for blessing us. And we thank you and say everything today by permission from the words of Jesus that you are so good. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.